Great song. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. A lot of talent around here. A lot of gifted people by God. And to watch Billy up here swinging his arms is a good thing. Amen? You have got a preacher's voice, son. You got a music voice too, but you use it for both. Amen? Your preacher does, so that's good. And I remember the first song leader we ever had. Phil Mays was his name. Became one of our deacons. And Phil Mays would just stand there, but he'd sing. He had a great voice, and he'd sing. I said, Phil, that ain't going to work. I said, you got any rhythm in you at all? And I said, at least do this. And he did that really well. Next thing you know, he's like this. You know, he's learned it all. So thank God for young men like that that'll be willing to work the work of God no matter what it is. And leading singing is not the easiest thing to do because people don't follow real well. Amen? So you did a great job, and you girls on the piano and work, unbelievable singing. Is there any ladies that sing in here? Any ladies? Good. I just wondered. I've seen men this morning, men tonight. I figured that we'd have the women from Capitol Hill down here complaining I don't know. So anyways. Enough of that hoo-la. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Would you stand one more time? Let me read just a few verses. Some we've already heard. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Great book, isn't it?
Amen.
Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Well, I struggled with wanting to preach on being a good soldier, and there's so many things involved there in obedience and your commander, etc., but God just didn't give me total peace about it. But I love that scripture that we've been chosen. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
And thank God for that. And it says, verse 5, if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. So many messages here. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now remember who's writing the book. The Apostle Peter. Is everybody with me? Now watch verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now, that's right in the middle of the chapter here. And what's amazing is that you almost, as you read both letters, you wonder, why is that in there? Well, maybe we'll find that out in a minute. Wherein I suffer troubles of evildoer, even unto bond, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, this is strong, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Aren't you glad God's always faithful? Because we're not. He cannot deny himself. Watch this verse. Of these things, what thing? Those things that we have just read, and even going back to chapter 1, which we'll do in just a moment. Of these things, put them in, what's that next word? Remembrance, charging them before the Lord. They strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. And all of us know verse 15 real well by memory. We'll not read that. But I want to preach on this subject tonight, remembering. Remembering. Strong, strong word. And I want to share it with you, what God shared with me. Father, we love you. Thank you for the privilege and honor of being here once again. And Lord, I just enjoy it. Love being around all the people. They've been so good, so friendly. We enjoy the meal with the Nashes today and the kids. We had a good time with them. And just a great day. Lord, we want to have a good time with you tonight. Would you speak through us and speak to us? And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. We ask it for his sake only, we pray. Amen and amen. When we read 2 Timothy chapter 2, we've got to go back to chapter 1 real quickly here. And I want to make note of 2 Timothy 1, verse 3 and following. It says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have, there's that word again, remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. Now watch it. Thy tears, that they may be filled with joy. When I call to, there's that word again, remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance. There it is, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, Timothy, that's what he's talking to, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Remembering. We've read in both chapters there that word remember and remembrance over and over. And I could take you to so many more, but I don't have time tonight. And I want you to understand how strong this word is. This word remember and remembrance is mentioned three times in verses 3, 4, and 6 here. Teaching tools, if you will, for young Timothy. And remembering this, now listen to me. He was remembering what? His past. He went back all the way to his grandmother and his mother and his life. I know there's no daddy mentioned, but maybe daddy was a part of it. I don't know. I know he mentioned grandma and he mentioned mama here. But he took Timothy back to the path. Why? Reminding him of where he came from. Reminding him of what God did in instilling in him the Word of God, of course saving him and calling him into the ministry. And if you read closely in 1 and 2 Timothy on your own, there are strong references in there to affliction and strong references in there to some form of discouragement. We don't know. Nobody knows exactly what was going on. But in the ministry, a lot of things go on. A lot of things, by the way, people of God, that you have no idea what your pastor goes through sometimes. You have no idea how he struggles inwardly and how he pleads with God to be able to give you exactly what you need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And at the same time, sometimes dealing with issues with members and non-members and et cetera, so keep him in your prayers all the time, if you will. But undoubtedly, things were not going so well for the young preacher here, as we read. And again, go home tonight and read. Doesn't take long. Read both chapters. You'll understand it even more. Undoubtedly, things were not going well for the young preacher in the work that he had been called to, where Paul had left him. And as we all know, things sometimes just don't go well at all. Amen? They don't go well for us in our own lives. Our spirit's willing, but our flesh is weak. The times we live in can be unpredictable, to say the least. And they were in his day as well. You've got to understand, in their day, preacher, you know this, in that day, there wasn't just a whole load of Christians in that day. And even if they were, they didn't like them. Amen? And even the one who's teaching him was putting Christians in jail not long before he wrote this letter, before he had gotten saved. Now, I'd be first to confess that things in our ministry over the past 39 years, almost 40 now, didn't always turn out like I thought they would. But I learned through it that it would turn out the way God intended it to be, even if it hurt a little bit. And that happens in our lives from time to time. But here's what I'd have to do. I'd have to stop and pray. And I have to stop and remind myself that this is the Lord's work. I belong to God. I'm not mine own. If He is in control, everything will work out just fine. But you've got to do some things. I remember the times that He was there before I ever asked Him, knowing what I had need of. And then there were times where He'd say, you know what? I want you to ask. I want you to get on your face before me. Get on your knees before me. I want you to fast. These things come by prayer and fasting. Many things. He wanted to hear from us. But many times He said, you know what? I'm just going to take care of them in this issue. Isn't God good? Yeah. Amen? Amen. But if we as children of God would listen to that and learn from that like Timothy did, and we would be better off. Paul reminded Timothy of so many things. You know, if we as children of God, especially we who are blessed to be in ministry, and I mean that, ever fail to remember these truths, remember the reminders that God gives us in Scripture through the writers that wrote the Word of God, we're doomed to failure from the beginning. Are you listening? And by the way, failure, or at least I wrote this in today, at least unnecessary problems. And we put ourselves into, if you will. When we fail and forget, instead of remembering God's promises, Many, many times we are overwhelmed in the flesh and sometimes in our day-to-day routine. Listen to me carefully now. He had him remembering things, didn't he? He had him remembering one thing after another. For what? To encourage him. To remind him he was God's child. To remind him he had a mom and a grandma praying for him that had led him in the Word of God, that took care of him. But he said, Timothy, you're going to have to remember something. I'll get there in a little while. And if we determine that we're not going to remember God's promises and God's faithfulness and God's love and God's mercy and God's grace, and we're overwhelmed with the issue or overwhelmed with the devil, it just allows Satan to bring more doubt. It allows Satan to bring more disinterest, if you will, and disengagement and spiritual death, if you will. That's why so many quit. They just can't handle anything, and they can't figure out it's not them that handle it, it's God that handles it through them if they are faithful to God. Peter learned that well, and later the Holy Spirit of God had him write these words, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." He ran into him a couple of times, didn't he? And by the way, the old saying there is that he ain't running around, he's walking around. Which simply means, as I said this morning, he's walking, he's in here tonight. He's walking from person to person. You can't see him, but you can hear him. Because he's going to change the way you think and say, you know what, I'm ready to go home, I'm tired, I don't want to listen to it. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. So the Apostle Paul was doing his best from experience of his own, listen to me now, to help Timothy through whatever he was going through in his own life. You know, we can help others. We can be there for them through prayer. We can be there for them to help in other needs that are necessary. That's what God calls on us to do. And that's what Paul was doing with Timothy. Now, I have no doubt, as I wrote in here, there were others probably praying for Timothy. There were others that probably were involving their life with him, but we don't read about them other than Grandma and his mama. But the Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit desires to help us today as he did Timothy in that day. Now, if you don't need what I'm about to preach on, that's fine. Just don't snore, okay? Just say amen once in a while, we'll think you're still alive. But for us who need some things from God today, I want you to listen to this message, not from me, but from God. Remembering. Remembering. Remembering draws a large picture in the Old Testament as well as it does in the New Testament. The Jews remembered a little bit differently than we Gentiles remember, if you will. Or should I say, they were supposed to remember, and many times they did not. Sad to say, they didn't always obey God, and we've seen the captivities they had and the things that God allowed in their lives because they wouldn't listen, amen. I hope we don't go there. Remembering means recollecting. It means recalling to mind something or someone that affected our lives in a way that needs to be remembered. Are you with me so far? The Jews always remembered an event by participating in that event. What do you mean? Well, here's an example. We all remember Noah and the great flood, do we not? Everybody remember that story? Y'all believe it? Amen. And so Noah and the great flood, and we can read about it in Genesis chapter 6, Genesis chapter 9, and we're not going to do that now. God established a covenant with Noah and his sons and those that were aboard that ship and all of us, if you will. Here's what he said. I do set my bow in a cloud. It shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. It shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow, rainbow, if you will, the bow, shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember, listen, I will remember. God said, I will remember. Listen to me. I'm glad God remembers. Amen. He said, I will remember my covenant. I preached on this one time here, a month ago or so, or a few months ago, if you will, and I walked out of the door of the church at Central Baptist in Far East Texas, and as I live and breathe, my wife and I walked out, and there's this beautiful rainbow after I just got through preaching out there. Now, I don't think we'll be able to see it tonight, amen? I hope it's not the glow of a nuclear attack or something, but anyway, but God remembered it. And let me say this. Do you understand why you're here tonight? Romans 8:1. Genesis 8:1. Listen to this. It said, God remembered Noah. I want you to think about that. If God hadn't remembered Noah, we wouldn't be here. Are you listening? But God remembered Noah and his family on that big boat. Hello. Brought them to dry land. Helped them to start repopulating the land. Amen. That's why you're here. You're a descendant of Noah somehow. Amen. So God remembered, and God always. By the way, God remembers you belong to Him. God knows everything about you inside and out. Psalm 139, read it on your own, some other scripture there. He knows everything about you. I like the fact that He knows every hair on our head, or at least the hair we used to have on our head. Amen. You don't have to worry about that, preacher, but you will. You will one day. But aren't you glad He remembers? He knows you and I are here tonight, and He wants to speak to us. By the way, one day there'll be another cloud, and it's going to be a light greater than the rainbow. And we read some of this morning, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." I'm still looking forward to it. Even from this morning, I'm looking forward to it. These are words to remember while we are serving. This book is words to remember while we're serving. Words of eternal hope and eternal help. Words that strengthen us in our walk of faith. Words that preach to us. Words that pastors and preachers can preach to the people of God and bring them into remembrance of what God has promised every single one of us. And we ought to participate in that and listen to the man of God, listen to the word of God, so that God can work in us. If He had to work in Paul, as we read this morning from the book of Romans, if He had to work in Timothy, if He had to no doubt work in Peter's life, amen, then He's got to work in our lives as well. There was a preeminent picture of redemption by the blood of Jesus, or by the blood, if you will, in the Old Testament story of the last plague. You remember that? When the firstborn were found, if the blood was not on the lintel and doorpost of the home there, the firstborn, no matter what background, Jew, Gentile, or whoever was there, would die. And they did. You know the story. And then there was that mass exodus after that last plague. Out of Egypt, Pharaoh's son died. Thousands of others died. I believe Pharaoh died. Many don't. But I believe he did in that day. Every year, Israel would participate in the Passover meal to remember that night. Do you hear me? They remembered. They participated in that night. The death of the firstborn, regardless, I said, if they were Egyptian, Jew, or whatever, died. The plague went forth. God released His people. And, of course, they did just what Baptists do. They forget real quick. And they moan and groan and et cetera. We've got something we can participate in, too. You just mentioned it, preacher. It's the Lord's Supper. Amen. You remember it? 1 Corinthians 11, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. This do in what? Remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as you in remembrance of Me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come." You know what I say about that? Hallelujah. You understand how important it is? And you men will get involved in this, and you'll have the Lord's Supper. I call it Lord's Supper. Some call it communion or whatever. But the Lord's Supper, and it's laid out, I guess, from here, preacher. Yes, sir. And preacher, I years ago, I had my men down below here, and I got to where I was weeping because I looked down there, and I seen their hands. Now, I don't ask you to show your hands tonight, but those men were working men. And they had grease in their fingernails. My daddy was a mechanic. You couldn't get all the grease out of his hands. But they were there, Brother Doggy, and they were administering the Lord's Supper. And they were people of God, men of God, And they were doing one of the most important things they could be doing at that time. The one thing I miss the most about not pastoring is administering the Lord's Supper. When I'm home, they know I'm home in my church, they ask me to serve. And I love being able to go down there and hand me the tray and take it out like that. You know why? Because it causes me to remember what Jesus Christ did for my life. And what He's doing and what He wants to do. He just wants us to remember some things. And Paul was teaching Timothy, hey, there's some things you need to remember in this thing. Remembering God's truths and God's promises or even personal works of grace in our lives. I'll never forget the night on that Wednesday night when I got saved. And I hope I never forget it. I may do it one day. I may get senile. My sons think I'm close to it now. My wife knows I am. Amen. How many of you wives know your husband's close to being senile? Senility. Okay, yeah, see? Honest. Honest. Y'all don't want to hear what we think. What we remember about our past affects our present and our future in many, many different ways. Way back in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 3 through 12, God wrought a great victory for Israel against the Philistines there after they had listened to the man of God and repented in that day. God brought a great victory there. Matter, it's I'll get it out in a minute. I'm trying to hurry, all right? Put that clock under that chair up there, would you? But God wrought a great victory there after they had repented of their sins. And we need to do some repenting of our own. After that great victory, stay with me, Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin. And he called the name of it Ebenezer. Now some of you know what that is. But it's called the stone of help or the rock of help. And that stone then marked a place of remembrance in their present time that would affect their tomorrow and their future. And I thought about that. It was a place of remembrance. And as they would take their children and they go back by that area, they could say, this happened that day. It's kind of like when they crossed the Red Sea or they crossed the Jordan River. There were stones set up and they were just reminding them. By the way, if you read the book of Joshua, you'll find out the reason why the whole generation turned away is they quit telling their kids about it. They quit sharing it with them. Are y'all with me? Yes. Mom and Dad, you share the Word of God. You read it to them. You get them involved. Buy books that they can read that relate to the Word of God. And don't rely upon them just to one day be 14-year-old and learn it all. You start now. Amen. If you can homeschool, it's a better thing. If you can't, that's understandable. But you need to work with their spiritual well-being as well. A lot said to create the importance of why God spoke to me concerning this message on remembering. Back to 2 Timothy. Hurry. Hurry. I want to get home. 2 Timothy chapter 2 again. Or next. Look at verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace in Christ Jesus. And the thing thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I don't mean to hurry, but we've been through it already. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of thee. We know he's going through something here. I mean, he's trying to remind him to be a good soldier, to endure the hardness he's going through. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affair of this life, that he may please him a chosen to be a soldier. Drop down to verse number 7. Consider what I say, Paul said, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Then he says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. What a powerful verse. In the midst of all that we go through in our Christian life, don't lose focus on what was done for us in the past by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he was reminding Timothy of. Sometimes it would do us well to remember our salvation. Yes, sir. Hello? Yes, sir. Don't just take it for granted like it just happened. God looked down in the midst of several billion people. Are you listening to me? He looked down in the midst of several billion people and said, I want you and I want you and I want you and I want her. I want him. I want that child. I want that teenager. I want that young adult. We get to where we think we are somebody and we are in Christ, but we need to remember why we are. And it's because of this statement in verse 8. Jesus Christ, the seed of David, raised from the dead according to my gospel. You know what that ought to be? That ought to be some encouraging words for Timothy. Hey, Timothy, guess what? He rose from the dead. He's in power. He's there for you. He's there for me. Oh, well, come on now. The Holy Spirit's getting involved now. Go to Isaiah 41. I hate it when the Holy Spirit gets involved. Messes up my outline. Hey, man. No, I'm just kidding. Some people are out there saying, what? Isaiah 41. Hurry. I know it's driving you nuts. Isaiah 41. Look at verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Who's on the right hand of God? Yeah, that's the right hand of Israel. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. See how God can work? And they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, shall not find. I like that. There's some people I wish would be missing in a hurry over all these years, you know, people with the cause trouble. Lord, just let them disappear. Amen. And by the way, that's what he just said. Read it. Y'all read the Bible like I do. Y'all got a good King James Bible?
Amen.
Yeah. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. I love it. Even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. Watch this. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Isn't that wonderful? I may have preached part of this sometime before when I was here, but think about it. God's up here saying, hey, look up here. Take my hand. By the way, quit trying to hold out, okay? I want you to just hold on. If you'll hold on to the hand of God, He is not going to turn loose. You can read John's gospel about the hand of Christ, the hand of God. You can't fall out of either one of them. If you could, you'll fall right into the other. Amen? I mean, that's worth remembering. That's worth bringing strength to our life and reason for our service and our faithfulness to God. Sometimes it does well to remember our salvation. Sometimes it does well to remember our calling. Now, not everybody's called to be a preacher, but we are called to serve.
Yes, sir.
We are called to be separated. We are called to be sanctified. We are called to do things in our life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what we need to do is remember our calling, if you will. If you're a preacher or in ministry, you certainly need to remember your calling. Never take it for granted. And that, by the way, somebody told me one time when I talked to him about the message, maybe my good friend, Brother Smith, but he said, you ever thought about that? Maybe what happened with Timothy? He wasn't taking it seriously. You know, and he got discouraged. I don't know. We still don't know. But I do know that Paul was reminding him of some things. It would do us well to remember our blessings. I don't know about you. I got a lot of blessings from God over the years. Amen. Undoubtedly nobody else did. Amen. I'm remembering the miracles that God has performed in my church, in the ministry, and in our life, in our home, in our marriage. Unbelievable. Remembering our friends. I've got friends. I've had somebody in the ministry from time to time say, well, I just can't have friends with me. You can't trust anybody. I hate to live like that.
Yes.
I do. And I've got friends. We've been with them for years, and they're getting older now, older than me, and can't do as much anymore, but they have been friends for years. I mean, when you go on vacation with somebody 27 years in a row, that's friends. Amen? And they're pastors and pastors' wives. We've had a wonderful time. We've done everything that was righteous. Might have lied about the fish that we caught, but other than that, we did everything right. Amen? How about remembering the birth of your children? It's worth remembering. Good luck, Brother Doggett. Amen. Remembering the birth of your children. Remember the, you know, let's see, Joe, John, Nathaniel, whatever, I don't know. But Paul, listen to me. I can go on and on. Paul was reminding Timothy that this is a fight to the end. You know, I believe Paul was a good friend. I really do. I believe he was a good friend, certainly a fellow preacher, and one with far more experience than Timothy ever had, or ever would have, for that matter. Have you followed with me so far? Am I making any sense at all?
Amen.
Well, let me give you some points that God just threw at me. Let me share them with you. Number one, when we remember, like we have just discussed, listen to me, we become more grateful.
Yes.
I'm going to prove it to you. Take and go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now, who's teaching Timothy here? He's the mentor, isn't he? He's the preacher. You ought to have your mentor, and it ought to be your preacher to start with, but there's others. Watch this. Verse 12. Paul said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. You got anything to thank Him for? Who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I don't know about you, I stop right there every time. And the reason I stopped there is this was a murderer. Are you listening? He was a murderer. He was an unbeliever. He's no better than I've told you than ISIS. He was putting people in prison of the way. Those that were Christians. And yet God knocked him off that horse, whatever He did to him. He got him saved there on the road to Damascus. Amen.
Yes, amen.
And now he's here. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me for the economy of faith, put me in the ministry. Who was before? Don't miss this. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is the faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Watch, for whom I am chief. Here is a mentor teaching Timothy. Now, it's not written in every area, but this is chapter 1 of the first letter. So Timothy had it. Are y'all with me? And so Paul was reminding him of everything, but I just picked the words remembrance out of there. And here he's reminding him of the greatest thing that could ever happen to him, and that was being born again and being called into the ministry. You know, when we remember some of God's promises to us and the things God's done for us, we automatically become more grateful, more thankful. How grateful are you to God today? How thankful are you? Well, he got a good thing. No, he got a sorry sinner. That's what he got. Now, he made you better. Hopefully, since you've been saved, made you a lot better. Amen. Made you a little more righteous, a little more holy, a little more separated, a little more sanctified, a little more of a servant to him. No doubt about that. But you understand something here. We need to learn to be grateful. And if what we've had done to us and given to us so far doesn't make us grateful, we're living in sin right now. Okay, take your Bible, go right there, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And by the way, I know you know this, so just hang on. We're going to give it to you anyways. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. The Bible said, in everything, every circumstance, give what? For this is the what? Will of God. People always ask me, what's the will of God? There's places in the Bible I take them to like this one, and he can't get out of it. Amen. They can still disobey, but they can't get out of it. The will of God for your life right here is to give him gratitude. Give him thanksgiving, if you will. All right? That is worship unto the Lord. That's what he expects. And by the way, when you do that, God just say, you know what? I'm going to have to use him a little more. I'm going to have to use her a little more. I'm going to have to put her here and him there. And one of the reasons we're not where we need to be, maybe where we want to be, is because we haven't learned to be grateful to God for every single thing that he's done in our lives. I wrote out in my margin of my Bible, and preacher, you probably have had this like I have for years, but out there at the margin, if you got a pen and you can write, I'll give them to you real quickly. Because it talks about the will of God. The will of God is knowable. People talk about, I don't know the will of God. Well, you can know the will of God. The will of God is knowable. It's doable. Wrote that in here. It's enjoyable when you're in the center of God's will. It's enjoyable. And may I say this lastly, it's acceptable to God because he expects it. In fact, pretty much demands it. So when we remember like we have discussed, we become more grateful, more thankful to God who has done it all. Number two, we become more faithful. Look at 2 Timothy 4. We've been there today. Go back, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And notice here, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse number 6, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Look at that. Look at that. When we remember as we should, we become more faithful. Paul was faithful. You're talking about a mentor. He could teach us all about faith from every letter he wrote, and he did. And when I look at this at the end of his life, I'm thinking, boy, I'd like to be there at the end of my life. How about you? I want to be faithful.
Amen.
If a man of God calls upon me, if my preacher calls upon me in my church to do something that I can do, and I'm in evangelism, gone a lot now, I want to be able to say, preacher, I'll take care of that. Preacher, I'll do that. I'll visit them, preacher. I'll take that class. I might need a little help, and most preachers will make sure you get that help. But there's always need. There's need on the bus ministry.
Yes.
You need people that can back up the bus workers. So in case one does get sick, and they do from time to time, that you can go out and take the wheel and drive that bus or that van.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Amen.
This is what God expects. That goes back to that grateful heart and being a faithful servant. We become more faithful. How faithful are you tonight? Have you been faithful to the meetings today? I hope you are to Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. God has some great things for us out of the Word of God. But hear me now. These are just things we need to remember. Remember to be grateful. Remember to be faithful unto God. And that's why he could instruct Timothy so well and instruct us, is because he had done it all. It's kind of like being tempted where we read it in Romans 7. You know, I was supposed to do this, but I couldn't do it, and on and on and on. It's stuff you can't really make up in your mind. But what he was saying is, my flesh is overtaking me from time to time. But he learned. He learned. He learned it through Christ and learned it through living by faith and so forth. So, we become more grateful, more thankful if you help. We become more faithful. Number three, remembering makes us, listen to me now, more thoughtful of others. You know, our responsibility is souls. Okay? Our responsibility in the church is the ministries of the church, but our ultimate responsibility as a local church is the Great Commission. At home and abroad. That's why the church was made for us. Christ built that church. He uses us to continue to add to that church. And he expects us to do that. We are to be thoughtful of others. Well, who better than Paul to be thoughtful of others? Look at 2 Timothy and look down at chapter 4, verse number 11. All right? Bible says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark. Remember John Mark? Everybody remember John Mark? Remember on that first missionary journey, he said, I don't know about this. And he backed off, went back home. Are y'all with me? And then it became some trouble between him and Barnabas. You remember that? And then he went back out with Silas. And then later on, they wanted to take John Mark with him. He said, I don't think so. I don't think he's ready right now. All right? And the next thing you know, you never hear Barnabas' name again in Scripture. And you don't hear much about Mark. Every once in a while, you see his name. But now watch this. This is unbelievable. It makes us more thoughtful of others. He said, only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the what? Something happened. I don't think that Paul relinquished his love for John Mark. I think somehow he communicated with him. Because he's in jail now. He's fixing to die, be a martyr for Christ, Paul is. And he said, you know what? I want to see John Mark. I don't know about you, that tells me he was thoughtful of others. You know, it'd be good if we learned that. Are you listening? I'm not talking about being critics of others. I'm not talking about being mouthy about others. All right? I'm not talking about getting on Facebook and telling them what you think about your preacher's wife or your preacher or each other. It has destroyed more churches than you can imagine.
Yes, sir.
It has destroyed more relationships than you can. Be thoughtful! And when you remember what God's done for you and done in your life, you ought to be thankful and grateful. You ought to be more faithful, if you will. And you certainly ought to be like God. Remember, it makes us more thoughtful of others. It makes us more thoughtful of all those who have had an impact in our lives, folks. Listen to me. My father and my mother. Somebody would say to me, well, you know, you don't know my father, you don't know my mother. Well, I've got news for you. They birthed you into this world. And they were sinners too. And they may be sinners saved by grace and off out where they ought not be. They may be sinners that never got saved, and maybe you did or whatever, but mom and dad are mom and dad. You need to learn how to love your mom and dad in spite of them, if that's necessary. Because God loved you in spite of you. Amen. Remember, it makes us more thoughtful of others. We need to remember, listen to me, we need to remember our father and mother. Remember our friends, as I mentioned. Remember our pastor and his wife. I always put that in there because no matter what you think of some things they do, this is the man of God and woman of God that God gave you. And from all I can see, it's working really well. So, but now listen to this. Listen to this. How about Christians we met along the way? How about being thoughtful of them? Well, I just don't like her. I just like it. I hear this all the time. And I'm thinking, well, you know what? There are a lot of, I don't, if we all got together, there could be some things about every one of you I don't like. And you've already figured out a lot about me you don't like already. But now look up here. Look up here. We're to be God's children.
Amen.
We're to be forgivers, forgetters. Aren't you glad God forgave you of your sin, didn't ever bring it back up and shake it out in your face? Amen. The only reason you ever have anything about your sin that returns to you is because you're living like you ought not be living, and it comes right back into here. Amen. But all these people that are here tonight, you ought to learn how to love one another in spite of one another.
Amen.
Nobody's perfect. We're all growing, some quicker than others. Some are more mature, but they're all of God's children. You ought to be as patient as God is. You and I must become more thoughtful of others now in this present time so as to do this. And listen to me now. Affect theirs and others' futures. You know, when we're kind to people today, it affects tomorrow for them. It affects next year for them. And they'll look back and say, you know what? I remember, and they'll call your name, and they were so good to me in spite of me. When I was going through a rough time and I did something wrong, got out of the will of God for a while, they called me, they sent me letters, they sent me notes, they didn't criticize me. They prayed for me.
Amen.
Where is that today? Lord, forgive me for getting angry, but I did. Look at 2 Timothy 2 again. 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's amazing how God gives us so much truth here. And look down a little bit farther in the chapter this time. Look down at verse number 10, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul said, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. Now watch. This is a testimony. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. He's talking to Timothy. Of these things, put them in remembrance. Lock them into your heart and your brain. Charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. He's trying to get Timothy encouraged here. He's trying to be thoughtful of Timothy and those around him. He wants him to succeed. You know, God wants you and I to succeed. God wants to be proud of you. Are you listening? I always want my daddy to be proud of me. And that was a rough go for a while. My wife could tell you stories about that. You know, I don't need Oprah Winfrey and I don't need Dr. Phil. There's time when my dad never told me he loved me until he was dying. You've heard stories like that. First time my wife was ever introduced to my dad, he said, you know, something to the nature of he ain't worth a plug nickel or a dime or whatever it was, doesn't matter. My daddy was out of the will of God at that time, but he was my daddy. He was a hard worker. He provided. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
And the thing about it is that we can all take offense to that, but listen to me, people are counting on us. They're counting on you. They're counting on me. People need you. They need me. They need the gospel. And God called you and I to reach people in spite of them.
Yes, sir.
Many of them need our love. They need our care. They need our prayers. They need our presence, if you will. They certainly need the Great Commission. They need the gospel. We're there to get them saved. We're there to get them baptized. We're there to get them right, if you will, and taught the Word of God and send them out. My friend, you say we win them. We wet them. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
We worm them. You say worm? Yeah, you won't get your dog health, your cat health. You got to worm them every once in a while. Christians need to be wormed to be right. Amen? What's the other one, dear? Work them. What's that last one? You don't know. Yeah. Paul was always thoughtful of others. So, let me leave you with this now. Listen to me carefully. Let me get through here. Remembering causes one to be more grateful, more faithful, more thoughtful. Number four, remembering causes us to be more fruitful. That was probably the best one that God gave me that I just got all over it, and I knew I could be here all night, and I won't do that. But we ought to be more fruitful in our studying of the Word of God. We ought to be involved. Study to show thyself, the proven of God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. We ought to be in the Word of God. We ought to be fruitful in the Word of God. And I mean, it ought to do something in our life. Sanctification, I mentioned that two or three times already. We need to be fruitful in sanctification, living right, living righteous. Need to be fruitful in our soul winning, no doubt. And you know, hey, I appreciate you folks coming out on soul winning. Hey, I call you gray heads out there. That's me, okay? That's you, some of you gray heads. We have got all kinds of excuses to use. Well, I just can't walk anymore. This is hurting, that's hurting. You know, I got young couples calling that out already. But now listen to me, what we can do, gray heads. Listen to me. We can pray. Yeah. How about humbling yourself and coming up here when they're going soul winning sometime and just stay here and get together and fellowship and pray. Have a cup of coffee and pray. Fellowship and pray. Talk about the preacher and pray. I just you have to see if they're asleep or not out there. Amen. Yeah, sorta. Yeah. And then we need to be more fruitful in our seeking God through prayer. And then this is the one you've been looking for. Lastly, remembering causes us to be more hopeful in our lives. Said a lot about hope today, haven't we? You know, more Paul's lessons to a needful young man, Timothy, a preacher of the gospel, a pastor, a troubled Christian in life at that time, over and over was encouraging him and helping him to remember the things that God's already done in his life. You and I could stand up and give testimony tonight of dozens of things God has done in our lives. It should cause us to remember. And if that's not good enough, if you don't get all that, you've got to get verse 8 that he put right in the middle of all this. Remember, Timothy, remember this. Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead. He's no longer dead, according to my gospel. In other words, don't forget the gospel. Don't forget the important thing. Don't forget that God allowed himself to be crucified on an old rugged cross and shed his own blood through his son Jesus Christ. Listen to me now. He was buried, but he arose again on the third day that you and I might have eternal life. That's what he was telling you. You got all this. Don't forget it. Remember it, whatever it takes to go back and remember, so you can be efficient in these things that we just talked about in remembering. Remember above all else that your hope lies in a resurrected Christ. You know, the Bible tells us that without the resurrection of Christ, we are of all men most miserable. We're still in our sins. How many believe God allowed his son to be crucified? He was buried, but he rose on the third day. Everybody believe that Jesus rose on the third day? Do you understand the impact of that when somebody reminds you of that? You know, you never hear any more about Timothy other than in the end here while he's doing that. By the way, one last thing, preacher. I know I'm a little late. Hang on here. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 again. Talking about him remembering others a while ago, and I didn't get there. I just got to show you this real quick. Look here. Let's finish on this note. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look down at verse number 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, Timothy, if you will, for he hath greatly withstood our words, the gospel, the teaching of the pure word of God. Verse 16. At first answer, and listen, no man stood with me. How many believe the Bible now? No man stood with Paul at a certain time in his life. At first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God it may not be laid to their charge. What a testimony. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, all Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, literally. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Listen to me. He was living in the midst of present tense hope at that time. And yet it wasn't long after that, they cut his head off and he died. Lord didn't deliver him like he did on earth anymore, but he delivered him to a greater place. He delivered him to heaven on that day. I don't know how long I got left. You don't know how long you got left. But if it takes going back to this good old book to stir up our remembrance of things that God's promised us and things that God's done for us, we need to do that. We need to remember that we're accountable to God, and one day we'll stand before God and give a complete and total account. Yes. My wife knows, you've heard me here before, but I always like repeating it. Keeps it in my mind. My wife knows that when I die, I don't want angels put on the side of my gravestone. I don't really want a gravestone for that matter. But if they're going to get me a gravestone, all I want written on there, Brother Doggett, faithful to the end. That's all I want. That's what Paul was, faithful to the end. I believe from the writings here and the historical writings that Timothy was faithful. Are you with me? How faithful are you tonight? What's going on in your life? Where are you? Maybe you need to go back and remember that very day, that very night you got saved and how good it was for so long. It's not a matter of what you're not doing now. It's a matter of what you quit doing back then that you should be doing now. I don't know what area of service that'd be. But I know this, He deserves every bit of everything we have within us to serve Him and serve Him faithfully. Let's bow our heads. Our heads bowed and eyes closed. That's the same question I asked this morning. How many in here tonight can say with an uplifted hand, total, complete, 100% assurance in your heart that you're born again? If you died right now, you know you'd go to heaven. If you know that, slip your hand up, would you? Slip it up. Slip it up. God bless you. Put them down. Look like every hand in here. Anybody in here tonight can say, Preacher, I don't know why I'm saved. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I sure don't want to go to hell. Anybody like that tonight? Would you raise your hand? Anybody said, I don't know I'm saved, Preacher? Anybody like that? All right, good. How many of you be honest tonight and say, God has spoken to me today? Maybe tonight, maybe earlier today. God has spoken to me personally about my life. Would you slip your hand up?